Praise God. We greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Thankful to be here to gather this morning. It's a blessing to seek the Lord together. What a blessing. You know, we find strength and courage, I do, from being with the saints, walking together, from you all's admonishment and encouragement. It's a blessing to do that, and we're actually called to, in the Word of God, to provoke one another to love and good works, and to encourage one another, pray for one another, and to walk together. What a blessing. We do say welcome to the visitors here. We're thankful to have you here and want you to know that you're welcome. I was blessed with what was shared. Brother Adrian, I think I was feeling kind of bad. I don't have many applications practically in the message, so you took care of that for me. It was a blessing, and we'll just have one message this morning, two different parts. That's all I would say. So this message, whatever it's going to be, a teaching, a Bible study or something, we might do a little singing even interspersed throughout, but we're trying, in our family devotions, we finished up in Revelation in the first part of this past week, the end of last year. And as we read through Revelation 21 and 22, I was just struck in a fresh way, just considering the holy city of God, the New Jerusalem. And so we'd like to talk a little bit. We'll look at that in some of those chapters. I don't have a lot of comments wrote down, but we just want to look at it, see what the Bible says. But before we do that, we'll take the message, most of our thoughts, at least the text, out of Hebrews chapter 11. So you can turn there this morning. Let's read this passage here. So that kind of brought my thoughts this direction earlier this week, thinking about the holy city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. I want to take a few moments this morning and reflect and meditate upon the city of God. And then also, last evening, was able to stop by the hospital for a few minutes to visit with Dan Wanger there. And it was just a blessing to spend a few minutes with him. He, only 20% of his heart is working. And he died once in the hospital there, and they brought him back to life. But just the joy in his face and the blessing, he just told me multiple times with a big smile and joy in his face that he said, it's okay, it's all in God's hands. It's all in God's hands, whether I stay or whether I go. And just blessed me. I've been thinking of him a lot this week, and I love Brother Dan and appreciate his heart for God. Anyway, just standing by his bedside there, there's no hanging on. Even the choice he made, if I understand it right, choice he made not to go on through with open heart surgery. He said, I'm 85. It's okay. I've lived a good life, but I'm 85. I'm ready to go. And so, you see, he's just not just hanging on for another year or 2 years of life. And it was just a blessing. He said, it's okay. If it's God's will, I'm ready to go. It's all in his hand. That just blessed my heart. You know, and so thinking of him this week just reminded me, too, of the heavenly city. And when we look at that, why do we want to stay here so bad? Why do we get so entangled up, Brother Adrian, in the affairs of this world? I don't think we have a clear enough vision, like you said there. We haven't set our affection clearly enough on the things above. And so we have too much affection down here sometimes. All right, we're Hebrews chapter 11. Let's begin to read in verse number 8, and we'll read through verse 16. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of him and one as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we just look to you. We pray that our hearts together could be inspired as we look into your word. We thank you for the things we've heard already this morning. We pray that it would help us to remember them and apply them to our lives. And we just pray now, Father, that you would speak to us through your word and give us a fresh vision and revelation of your heart for your people and of eternity, Lord, and of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, oh God. We just pray for your spirit to direct and to bless your word to our hearts and lives here this morning, that we together could be edified and Jesus could be glorified. Amen. So let's go back here to verse 8 in this passage. And it just tells us that I don't have a title really, but I thought of a title could be this morning, What Am I Looking For? It tells us here in verse 10, of Hebrews 11, verse 10, Abraham, it says, he looked for a city. And so it could simply be a question. It don't have to be the title, but a question this morning. Think about, what am I looking for? We're all looking for something in life. Some of us more diligently and earnestly than others, but we're all looking for something. And just a question this morning, what am I looking for? It tells us here that Abraham looked for a city. And you could, in a sense, that could be the epitaph on his tombstone. This is Abraham. He lived in this, he sojourned here, but he spent his life looking for a city in which God had built. He spent his life looking for the city of God. That's quite an epitaph. He lived and died here, sojourning in the land of Canaan, but he spent his whole life looking for the city of God. And it's interesting to me, so Abraham came and dwelt there in Canaan, and he dwelt among those seven nations at least, and those terrible Canaanite, those ungodly, wicked Canaanite nations, so ungodly and wicked, and he lived among them, and he lived there among them, and he never lost his faith. He never adopted their customs. He never joined in with them. He was able to maintain his separation from the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the other ites that were there. He never became one of them. And this was a major key of why he never did. Because he was living there, but he was looking for something else. And he never settled down there. That never really became home. And it's just interesting for me to think about that. So, 400 and some years later, when the nation of Israel came and the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan, and they cleared out most of them. They didn't clear them all out. They were supposed to, but they cleared out most of them. But they ended up adopting their ways. They ended up adopting the ways of the Canaanites and worshiping Baal. But Abraham never did. Now Lot, he got his eyes off of the heavenly city, and he ended up over there in that well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. And somehow that, his vision, it affected his vision. No, God spared Lot through Abraham's intercession, and it calls him a righteous man. And in 2 Peter, it's a good thing it does, or we wouldn't know he was there in 2 Peter 2, but that was Lot. It seemed like he kind of lost some of the vision of the city of God. But Abraham, Abraham, he spent his whole life. Yes, he was living there, and he even accumulated some possessions. It's amazing. He says he was rich. He accumulated some things, but those things never got a hold of his heart. And he was able to spend his whole life looking for that city of God. What are you looking for? What am I looking for? What are we looking for? It tells us here that he was called and obeyed. And he obeyed in verse 8. He didn't know where he was going when he was initially called. And you know, that's a life of faith. That's the way it is in the Christian journey, in the Christian walk. When God calls us to be his children, there's a sense where we leave that old life. We leave that behind. And we enter into a journey with God. And we really don't know where that journey will take us. If we truly and completely yield ourselves and at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, you are my master, my Lord, we don't ever know where that'll take us. That's okay. Like Dan said last night in the hospital bed, it's okay. He's in control. He kept telling me, praise God. If he's not in control in your life, you're in trouble. But if he is in control, it might be uncomfortable at times. It might not feel the best. It might be unstable sometimes. You might be on a boat in the middle of the ocean and the waves are rolling like this, like those 12 apostles, and it might be kind of scary. But it's okay. It was okay for them, wasn't it? Because Jesus was in the boat. But Abraham, he went out. And it's that way. We're called to follow God with our whole life. It tells us in verse 9 that he sojourned. And that simply means reside as a foreigner. He resided as a foreigner in a strange country. Even though this land was promised to him and his descendants, he lived there as a stranger. He never became one of them. You know, Abraham never settled down. He never built his big hacienda, his big ranch. He kept on sojourning. He had a lot of possessions, but he kept sojourning. And somehow he cultivated this heart of a sojourner. Somehow he cultivated this heart of a stranger and a pilgrim. And Isaac and Jacob did as well. It tells us those three in this whole passage, those three somehow cultivated the heart of strangers and pilgrims. And they were okay with that. I can only imagine Isaac coming to his Abraham and saying, Dad, you know, why can't we do this? Why don't we get that? You know, I saw over here at the neighbors, I was in town the other day, and there was the Hittites were there, those Hittite boys, or Perizzite, whatever those boys, those other boys were there, and they were doing this, and they had that, and Dad, why can't we do that? Why can't we just settle down a little bit around here? Why can't we get along with the program here? Why can't we fit in a little better with the Hittites and the Perizzites around here? Why do we have to stand out, Dad? I can only imagine Isaac. And that wasn't always pleasant. I mean, they were surrounded by these other nations. And these boys, and Jacob was a grandson. These boys grew up in the middle of that. And they knew that those other, it says in Deuteronomy, that I have given you the land of these seven other nations which are mightier than thou. He's telling Israel, these seven nations were mightier than you are, and I gave you their land. But these boys grew up surrounded by these seven mighty nations. Dad, why can't we do it? Why do we have to be the strangers and pilgrims? Why can't we just settle down? And then we read with Isaac, he dug a well, and the others claimed it. He dug another well, and they claimed that one. And it wasn't always pleasant. It wasn't always easy. But somehow, they maintained the heart of a stranger and a pilgrim. It's hard to do. It's hard to do in America. It's hard to do that in America. And we're not, it don't just mean being different because we do a few external things different. It means we have a different outlook on life because we're looking for a city. This is not our home. We've become too at home in America. Abraham. He said, boys, this isn't our home. We're looking for that city, boys. You get them around, sit down, say, boys, there's a city that God is building. God is building a city. And we're going to that city. That's home, boys. That's home. This isn't home. I can only imagine Sarah. Hey, Abraham, this is inconvenient. They had a lot of servants, I guess, so she might have been all right. But inconvenience. I don't like being different than all these nations. They look at me strange. I feel it. Why can't we just settle down? Why can't we just fit in? The Hittites or the Perizzites or whatever they were called, fit in here a little bit. No. We're looking. And it says here, Abraham looked for a city. Now, the interesting thing here, if when you look at that, in verse 10, it says he looked for. That word looked for in the Greek, that's a verb. And it's an imperfect verb. That simply means it was continuous action. This isn't something he did once in a while. But he continuously looked for this city. And I think it's a major important key to why he was able to live as a stranger and a pilgrim among all those Canaanite nations and never adopt their ways. I think it has a major important factor in it because he looked for a city. He was looking for a city. I thought of this, and I thought of, you know, in the Pilgrim's Progress, I thought of Christian and Hopeful there on the way to the Celestial City, and they stopped and they met with the shepherds there for a time. And while they were with the shepherds taught them several lessons. But then one of the things they did, they said, listen, on a clear day from this mount, I think it was called the hill, Mount Clear or something, on a clear day, on this mountain, we have this spyglass, this telescope, you can see the gates of the Celestial City. And so that's one thing they did for Christian and Hopeful. They got them the telescope sighted in on the gates of the Celestial City, and they caught a glimpse of that, the glory of it. And so then they went on their way, on their journey. And they didn't get there right away, but they caught a glimpse of it. I think it's okay once in a while to get a glimpse of the Celestial City. So let's borrow their spyglass this morning. Let's look at some of the characteristics of this city of God. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Abraham looked for a city. And I think this is the city he was looking for. Now you could say, well, he was looking for the kingdom of God. In the sense he was living out the kingdom of God. But this is that city. I don't have a lot of comments on some of these verses, but we'll read them. Revelation 21, verse 1, down through verse 8. And this is John the Apostle. It must have been an amazing experience. It must have been an amazing revelation for the Apostle John to have this revelation and to see what he saw. And he was commanded specifically, you know, don't cover up this revelation. It says in verse 22, he says, Jesus told him there, he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Don't just cover it up. Don't seal it up. You write this and share it with my people, with the church. And he gives us this glimpse, this introductory view of the city of God. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. See here? This was the one who sat on the throne. He told John, write, write. I'm giving this to you to share with my church, through the end of time. Write it down, okay? Because the words are true and faithful. This will happen. This is reality. We live in a, you know, we live, it's reality today, but in a sense, it's not the real thing. Reality is coming. Real reality is still coming. These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, or these things, it could be interpreted. He that overcomes will inherit these things. And John had just seen the holy city, and he was there in the presence of God, and he says, he that overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So let's consider a few characteristics of this city from these 8 verses. The first thing we see is in verse 3 there. The first thing about the heavenly city, the first thing about the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the first thing that he notes is that God is there. God is there. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that God is there? That's an amazing thing. You know, heaven would not be heaven for all its gold and glamour if God wasn't there. That's what makes heaven. Heaven is God is there. And it tells us later here, in chapter 22, we'll read it then, and it says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We belong to God. His ownership will be upon us somehow. And it says, they will see him face to face. I don't know what that does to you, but I just read through Deuteronomy recently, in my quiet time again, and I was just amazed at the life that Moses lived, and so challenged. Moses, the prophet of God, God said about Moses, he's not like these other prophets. I revealed myself to them in dreams in different ways. Not Moses. I was able to speak to him face to face. And I say, God, God, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Well, listen, in the holy city, God is there, and we can see his face. Wow. Amen. Praise God. It always blessed me when Oswald Chambers was in the... he died in the Cairo, Egypt, through World War I. He was a chaplain there. And his parents, the telegram that was sent home to his family and his parents simply said these words. It says, Oswald... in his presence. That's all it said. And so the parents said, Oswald's gone. Oswald's gone to be with Jesus. They had no idea what had happened at that point. They had no details. But the telegram came and it just said, Oswald, in his presence. Wow, that thrills my heart. In his presence, forever and ever. Praise God. But God is there in the holy city. First thing we see, God is there. Verse 3. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Does that bless you this morning? Does that excite you? Paul says there's a crown of waiting for all those that love his appearing. Do you look forward? Because it reminds me of the missionary that mentored, I don't get off too many stories here, the missionary that mentored Watchman Nee. Sometimes they'd be walking down the street, and she would say, listen, we may turn this corner and Jesus may return. Wouldn't that be great? But living your days like that, next week like that, Jesus may come back today. I may be with him today. What a way to live. What do you think about that? Do we love his appearing? Do we look forward and anticipate being in the presence of God? To see his face. It's be an awful thing, awful in the sense of full of awe and reverence. It's not just something We don't just walk up to him and say, hey, buddy. No. No, we will be on face. But what do you think of that? What do you think of that in your heart when you think of meeting God? Are you ready to meet God? Are you looking forward to his return? But the first number one characteristic that makes the holy city such an amazing place, the presence of God. God is there. Number two, verse 4, it tells us there's no death, no sorrow, no crying, and no more pain. Why is that? Why are none of those things there? Why are none of those things there? God is there. Why else? What else isn't there? Sin. Those are all a result of sin. No death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain. There's none of that in that new city. You know, I'm just 42. Some of you are you're a few miles down the road ahead of me. But you start feeling, you know, you start feeling the pain a little more, and you don't sleep as well some nights. But anyway, that's all right. But none of this there. It's not there. Because God is there. God is there, and there's no sin there. There is no sin there. No more pain, no more death. Now, we're gonna do something here. 985, keep your hymn book handy. We're going to read a few of these at least. But I was just realizing, we don't sing some of these hymns. There's some hymns in here. I don't think we know hymn number 985. And I thought of you, you Embry young people and brother young people here from Canada, or Brother Melvin. I thought of, man, if we'd have just had this arranged, we just had some of you sing some of these songs, stand up and sing them. But, and the young people here maybe. But do you all know this 985 real good, anybody? Not real well. Okay. So we'll just read these words. There'll be some others. Not here where sparkling waters fade into mocking sand, where faint the footstep falters, we find our long-sought land. This isn't where we find our long-sought land. Not here where dreams deceive us and floods of sorrow rule, where bitter memories grieve us, we seek our final goal. This is not where we're looking for our final goal. No, far beyond time's sorrow, beyond this land of tears, there breaks a bright tomorrow, the dawn of endless years. Hallelujah. There, God in glory reigning, bids sorrow all depart, subdues each sad complaining, and heals each broken heart. Where every pulse is thrilling, with rapture none can know, where peace the heart is stilling, while happy ages flow. No sorrows there distress us, we shall in peace abide, for while our God shall bless us, we shall be satisfied. What countless joys are thronging on all the heavenly hills, to meet our heart's deep longing, which nothing earthly fills. Our steps are thither tending, with Jesus to abide. And there in life unending, we shall be satisfied. Amen? Satisfied forever and ever. Isn't that amazing? God is there. No pain there. No suffering there. No sin there. Praise God. And number verse 5, another characteristic. This is just to remind us. The one that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. It's a new city. It's a heavenly city, a new Jerusalem. And then he said unto me, he spoke to John the apostle. He said, write these things down. Write these things down so those saints in 2025 can still read about it, can still be inspired, can still have their vision renewed, can still be encouraged to seek for this heavenly city. Praise God. It will happen. This heavenly city is real. It's more real than the heaven. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but the words that I give unto you will never perish, Jesus said. The word of God is more lasting, more real than the ground we walk on. Isn't that amazing? Well, you can count on it. This heavenly city is real. Verse 6. It is done. I like that. It is done. And then there's an invitation here, a beautiful invitation. Look at that. Him, I will give unto him that is athirst. I'll give to him. It's an invitation. Come. Come. And then it's not just an invitation to drink. It is that. But it's an invitation to be, it says, I will be his God and he shall be my son. Invitation to an everlasting inheritance to be the children of God forever and ever. Amazing. I will be his God. He shall be my son. Amazing inheritance. What an invitation. What an invitation. And then we have a warning, a very sober warning in verse 8. Very sober warning. It's clearly distinguishing the city of God, this New Jerusalem. There's no pain, no crying, no sorrow. But clearly that's here. But over here, he says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. So over here you have the heavenly city. Over here you have the heavenly city. Over here you have the lake of fire. And that's where those people will go forever and ever. That also is eternal. That also is real. It's just as real. That also will go on forever and ever. That also is an actual place. Sober warning. So here we talked some about God says in verse 6 there that verse 7, he shall be my son. And hymn number 987, I think, do we know that? Hymn number 987? The homeland, oh the homeland. Y'all sing that, Melvin? I don't know how well we know it. Do y'all sing it? You don't sing it. My. Okay. So we're going to spend a little more time in the back of this book, I think. That's some of my inspiration and encouragement this morning as a congregation. We need to learn some of these songs. I think we need to sing them once in a while, right? I'll just read it here. The homeland, oh the homeland, the land of souls free born. No gloomy night is known there, but I, the fadeless morn. I'm sighing for that country. My heart is aching here. There is no pain in the homeland to which I'm drawing near. My Lord is in the homeland with angels bright and fair. No sinful thing nor evil can ever enter there. The music of the ransomed is ringing in my ears. And when I think of the homeland, my eyes are wet with tears. I think that's our home. Is right? Right? Our conversation is in heaven. That means our citizenship is in heaven. The children of God. This is a home. That's our home. Right? And our eyes get wet with tears in his presence. For loved ones in the homeland are waiting me to come, where neither death nor sorrow invade their holy home. O dear, dear native country, O rest and peace above, Christ, bring us all to the homeland of his eternal love. Praise God. Okay, let's go on to... We're going to skip down to verses 9 through 11 here in Revelation 21. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It must have been something to see. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Amazing. Must have been amazing to see this. So here we see this great city, and it was descending out of heaven from God. And John's watching this from a high mountain. And the glory of God was upon it. This city's there, and the glory of God is just upon this thing. And it was, her light was like a stone, most precious, as clear as crystal. We can't imagine it. He's struggling to get the vocabulary. But it says it was like, okay? It was like unto a stone. It was like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It was kind of like that. But I ran out of my vocabulary, and I couldn't explain it. But it was just amazing. But the thing we want to note there, one thing, the characteristics of this city is it has the glory of God. The glory of God. I don't know what you think of when you think the glory of God. But I sometimes envy what that must have been like for the children of Israel to have the Shekinah glory literally evident, you know, where you could step outside your tent in the camp of Israel and look to the middle, and there's the tabernacle, and there was either a cloud of a pillar of fire or a cloudy pillar or a pillar of fire sitting right over the top of the tabernacle. And they could actually stand out and just see that was the Shekinah glory. But this city, the holy city, just has the glory of God is on it. This must be amazing. The glory of God. Full of the glory of God. It says it again here in verses 21 through 23. We're not going to read all the measurements given there. That's amazing. The foundations, the 12 gates, the 12 foundations, the different foundations were made of all manner of precious stones. An amazing thing. And in verse 21 here, we'll start reading there again. We're talking about how this city, this holy city, has the glory of God upon it. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. It's amazing. When you get glass, I guess it can actually be clear, transparent like glass, when it's really pure and really refined and really, yes. And then verse 22, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So there's no physical temple building because God is there and the Lamb. And they are the temple. And the city has had no need of the sun. There's no need for the sun there. The glory of God filled this city. And that's the characteristic we're looking at here. The glory of God was upon it. And the glory of God filled it. And there was no need for a sun there or a moon. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Can you imagine living in a city that was made of these precious stones, clear as crystal, streets are gold, and the glory of God is filling the place? Amazing. 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 The glory of God is filling the place. And we are invited. I hope we're looking for that city. We're called to be looking for that city. Hymn number 978. Do we know this hymn? 978. Jerusalem the golden, with milk and honey blessed. Do we sing it? We sing it? Okay. Some of you are saying yes. So let's sing it, all right? Let's sing it like we're going there. Let's stand together and sing this hymn. I'm not going to help very much because I don't know it. But let's sing it like we mean it. Thank you. Sing out.
Jerusalem, the
Let's be seated. So we say, so the city, the characteristic, one of the characteristics is the glory of God is there. The glory of God just filling the place, the whole place, full of the glory of God. No sun, no moon, no light. Because the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amazing. We need to walk in the light of God now. We need to start learning to walk in the light of God today. Praise God. All right. And so let's look, and we'll go on here, verses 24 through 26. It tells us something here. I don't have a lot of comment here, but I thought it was interesting. Verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." So twice it says in these three verses that the glory and the honor of the nations will come into this city. So I don't know what all that means, but it sounds intriguing to me. You know, whatever glory and honor there are among the nations, they will be brought into this city. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? So you may think, well, I missed out. I mean, I didn't live in England, and I didn't see King Queen Elizabeth and her reign and some of the glory of that reign. Well, if there's anything worth going on for eternity, it'll be brought into that city. And we get to experience it yet. Amen? I don't know what all that means. You can straighten me out later on that one. But it's just interesting. All the glory and honor of all the nations, whatever there is brought into the city. And maybe that just simply means those who are saved, the saints of God. I don't know. But there was no night there. Now, verse 27, again, we have another warning given. It says, there's another warning. And so interspersed between these, as we're looking through the shepherd's spyglass at the gates of the celestial city here, in these couple of chapters interspersed throughout as we're looking, trying to get a little bit of a glimpse, a revelation of the city of God. There's warnings interspersed throughout here. And verse 27 is one of those warnings. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." Nothing that defiles will enter into it. "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." They that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those are the ones who will enter there. And so we could almost ask the question, all the glory and the honor of all the nations will be brought into it. How's that going to be? And then it's kind of like he clarifies. Listen, there'll be nothing brought in that defiles. It won't be anything there. Okay. Or that worketh abomination. But those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Maybe that clarifies what the three previous verses were saying. Be the saints of God. Maybe. But those who are written, the Lamb's book of life. He has a book. There's a book of life in heaven. There's a book up there. And in that book there are names written. Is my name in the book of life? Is your name in the book of life? Is it written there? Are you sure? Have you made your arrangement? Have you sent your response card? Have you sent your, I'm coming. Have you made your reservation? That's what I'm trying to remember. Have you made your reservation? Is your name written in the book's life? That's who will be there. All right? Praise God. We can all be there. We must make our calling and election sure. Now going into chapter 22, let's read the first five verses. Still looking at some of the characteristics of this heavenly city, this city of God. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." So out of the throne of the God and of the Lamb, there's this river, pure water of life that's just flowing out. Amazing. Where's it coming from? I don't know. But it's just coming out. It's just flowing out from the throne. Amazing. What is that? I don't know. It must be something. It's a water of life. Praise God. "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river," okay, there's rivers of life is there, "and then on either side of the river, there's the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." So the river of life is there. On each side of the river, there's a tree of life, and they are constantly bringing forth fruit. Amazing. "And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, because sin is abolished. Sin and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Sin is done, so no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Here it tells us again, this is where God's throne will be, in the middle of this city. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We read that earlier. But his throne is there, his presence is there, and his servants will be there in his presence, and they will see his face. What do you think of when you think of seeing his face? Praise God. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever. This is not just going to be a visit. You know, maybe you went to if you go visit the King of England or the Queen of England, and they would take you through the whole, what's the palace called there? Buckingham Palace. And they would say, take you through, did somebody else say it? Buckingham Palace, and show you this door, and this is the state room, and this is, wow. And you're going, wow. But then they say, no, you can go ahead and leave. You saw it, you leave. Not here. It says here that they'll reign forever and ever. They'll live there in the presence, in the glory of God, in the light of his glory, in this beautiful place forever and ever and ever. Praise God. Not just a visit. A place to live for eternity. Wow. And then we have a decision to make. And it's about a moment of pleasure for a pleasure for a moment. Are we going to choose a pleasure for a moment of time? And risk eternity in his presence? Really? Really? You're gonna risk eternal life forever and ever for a moment of pleasure? Really? They shall see his face. I think we do know this one, 995. Let's sing out with it. Let's sing all four verses. And then let's sing the refrain, okay? So sing out with it. This was written by Fanny Crosby, who was a blind woman. Isn't that amazing? A blind woman wrote this hymn. And she's writing a lot about seeing the face of Jesus. And that's what will happen. Those who go to the heavenly city, they will see his face. Praise God. Let's sing. 995. All four verses and then the refrain.
When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul thrilling rapture when I view his
praise God, and they shall see his face. And it says that there's no night there. It says that several times through these two chapters. There's no night there. There's no night. There's no candle. There's no light of the sun. God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'll just read this one to you. In 982, in the land of fadeless day lies the city foursquare. It shall never pass away, and there is no night there. All the gates of pearl are made in the city foursquare. All the streets with gold are laid, and there's no night there. And the gates shall never close to the city foursquare. There's life's crystal river flows. Their life's crystal river flows, and there's no night there. There they need no sunshine bright in the city foursquare, for the Lamb is all the light, and there's no night there. Amen. No night there. Praise God. Now we see here again in verse 6 of 22 that he said unto me again, these sayings are faithful and true. He says it again. This is true. This will happen. This, you can count on it. You can build your life on it. We can look forward to it. We can expect it. We can anticipate it. We can join Abraham in looking for that city. Praise God. Who's invited to this city? Who's invited? Not sure? Everyone. Are you sure? Amen. Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited. Later in verse 22, notice verse 12. These words are in red in my Bible, the Lord speaking. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. Those that do his commandments. And verse 15 says, what is without? Dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie. What a terrible place to live. Now verse 16 says, I, Jesus, I have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I gave this message to you for the churches. That's why we're sharing it this morning. It's for us too. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation's still going out. Come. And let him that hears, let him that's listening, even today, let him come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will is invited. Whosoever hears the invitation and responds can go there. This, I believe, is the city Abraham was looking for. I believe he was looking for this city right here. Let's turn back to Hebrews 11. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe Abraham lived his life with Isaac and Jacob. They lived their life looking for this city. They did, as Brother Adrian encouraged us this morning, they set their affection on things above and not on things of the earth. They sought those things which were above. They were looking for those things which are above and not on things of the earth. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? What am I looking for? This is what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were looking for. Do you think Abraham found it? Why did he find it? Because he looked for it. Do you think there'll be people that will find the holy city and they'll kind of stumble in and, oh, I wasn't expecting to be here. How did I end up here? You think that'll happen? No, I don't think so. I don't think people will just kind of stumble in there. Ooh, I wasn't planning to come here. What's the point? he was looking for. We will probably find what we're looking for. We will probably find what we're looking for better or worse. We'll probably find it. So it's important, what's really important, what are we looking for? This is what Abraham was looking for. And we probably won't find this if we don't look for it. Now it says here in Hebrews 11, we're back there in verse 13, about these saints, it's an amazing thing. It talks here about verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They didn't actually see it with their physical eyes. They didn't see these promises fulfilled. It says, but they have, having seen them afar off. It was kind of cloudy. Some days, I'm sure the clouds set in and the challenges for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm sure they had trials and challenges and it was pretty cloudy and they didn't see much. But they kept looking. And then there were some days the clouds opened a little bit and they saw. They got another revelation. They got in the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. They got another glimpse. But they saw them far off. They kept looking. And so if we're not looking, we're not going to see them. Right? But they were looking. And there's times I'm sure that, you know, it was too hazy. And it was rough, challenging times they went through in life. They were made of the same things, same stuff you and I are. I'm sure they had challenging days and they didn't see much of that, what they were looking for, but they kept looking. And then there was times as they were looking, it just broke up a little bit. There it is. And they saw it afar off. They kept getting glimpses. Far off, but they're glimpses, revelations. They saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. There was no question. They were persuaded of them, these promises of God. They're persuaded of them. Hey, listen, it don't feel like it. I don't see how it's going to happen, but I believe it. It's going to happen. God said it. They're persuaded of them. And it says they embrace them. they didn't just kind of, sort of, you know, kind of do that thing. They did it with their whole life. They embraced it. It became a way of life for them. So we're looking, we're heading this way. And there's times, it don't feel real good. It's kind of painful. We look kind of odd. It says here, they confessed then that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. So they saw it, persuaded of it, they embraced it, and they confessed. We're here, but we're not really here. We're here filling out our time, but we're going there. That's what we're living for. They confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Yeah, we're here for now, but it's not our home. Now, it says something in verse 14 about people like this. People like this can be a little different. But it says something about people like this. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. So they declare it how? How do they declare it? Plainly. You know, some Christians you meet, you're kind of, is that a Christian? No, I don't know. Then you watch their life a little bit, and you get more confused. I don't know. Watch a little longer. That's more confusing. We don't want any confusion. We want our lives to declare plainly. We can say it with our words, but we want our whole life to be a clear message. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. Amen, Adrian? Don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. I'm not getting tangled up with these things. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. Declare plainly. not, what is that? I don't know. Kind of, sort of looks like a Christian. She says she's a Christian, but it's not. Oh, phew. That's a challenge. Declare plainly. Stranger and pilgrim. And the longer you watch your life, the longer you watch that individual's life, yeah, he's a strange pilgrim. Some of us. But it's clear, declaring plainly. Plainly, right? Not kind of, sort of, it, maybe? No, plainly. A declare plainly means to exhibit. Just exhibit. It's clear. that they seek a country. That's what they're declaring plainly. See, people that live like this, people that say these kind of things, and people that live like this, they're making a clear proclamation. We're seeking a country. We are looking for that holy city. We're headed there. That's what we're looking for. That's the message they're saying. They're declaring plainly, we're seeking. We're not okay here. We haven't settled down. We're still going. This isn't home. Verse 15 says, you know, truly, if they had been mindful, that's an interesting phrase. That word, if they had been mindful, they had been mindful is one word in the Greek. And it means to exercise memory. In the tense, it's a verb. In the tense, it's in the imperfect tense. So it means continuous action. So if truly, if they had continuously been exercising their memory about the country in which they had left, it says they would have had opportunity to return. If they would have continually been thinking about this other country, exercising their memory, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And we face that challenge as Christians. Sometimes, you know, we're going through life and it gets challenging. It's a straight gate and a narrow way. And then sometimes you can actually be tempted to remember some of the good times you had back in that country, back in that old life, and you're tempted. And if you start thinking, you start exercising your memory about all that, and just thinking about, you'll have opportunity to return. Some people, you know, we're going this way, but we start exercising our memory about things that happened there, and we find our path kind of, you know, we find our feet kind of following our memory. Dangerous. So let's not exercise our memory too much. Let's look for that city. They might have an opportunity to have returned. Now, it says this in the Amplified. I kind of like this. This is how it reads in verse 15 reads. If they had been thinking with homesick remembrance of that country from which they were emigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. You get that? So it's saying, if they had been thinking with homesick remembrance, see, you're going this way, but you have this homesick remembrance of that country over here from which they were immigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. There's many pathways will take you right back there if you start remembering it, thinking about it. But, praise God, verse 16, but, it says no, they didn't do that. They desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. They desire a heavenly country. They're seeking that city. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed to be called their God because they're seeking that city, that heavenly country. And, you know, how's God known throughout the Bible? He's known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was not ashamed to be called their God. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, I'm their God. Because they never lost the vision. They never quit seeking the heavenly city. They never settled down in Canaan. But they saw the promises. They embraced them. They persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed. I'm their God. Those are my people. I'm the God of... You want to know who I am? You want to know who I am? I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who I am. How does it look when you put your name in there? I'm the God of Alan. Does God cringe a little? What am I seeking? What am I seeking? God's not ashamed to be called their God. And it says, for he has prepared for them a city. He said, I'm going to make a city for those folks. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm going to build them a place to live. Praise God. You heard a lot of the practical things Brother Adrian brought him. Don't be entangled up in the affairs of this life. He that is a good soldier. He that is a good pilgrim. Same thing. Same things that he gave. Let's not get wrapped up and entangled in the things of this life. But let us rather seek those things which are above. Let us set our affection on things above. Praise God. God bless you. 980. Do we sing? Do we know this hymn? 980. Jerusalem, my happy home. I think we need to learn this one for sure. Do you know this? Do you know it, Paul? Melvin, do you know it? Do you all know it, Embrace? You know it? Can you sing it out real strong? Lead it out. Okay, he's going to lead it for us. Let's sing that and then we'll turn the time over to the moderator. God bless you all. Let's continue to keep our vision clear and let's keep looking for that city whose builder is God. Amen. God bless you. We love you.